The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Simmons SD550 electronic drum kit, just $399. Add your choice of AKG K52 headphones or a Shure SM48 mic, each just $39. Plus, the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing, lessons for the beginner on your list, and gift cards. The perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the plot of thunder and rock and roll, and it is Friday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
So the waiter walked up to the guy and his date who were just finishing up dinner. And looks around and goes, oh, there's some food left over. And the waiter says, you want a box for that? And the guy says, no, how about we wrestle? Thank you very much.
All right, let's all groan together. Duff calling in from Sao Paulo, Brazil, or wherever the hell he is. He is in another country and still loves doing these jokes for you. The Duff McKagan joke of the week. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. If you think you can outdo Duff when it comes to bad jokes, hit me up on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho. You can tag at Duff McKagan. That's McKagan if you want to get Duff involved as well. And if you're already subscribing to the show and following us on the Twitter, then you know today's guests are porn's power couple, Savannah Styles and Lexington Steel. And yes, they work together. And they're talking about sex for work and sex in marriage, the difference. They're also talking about watching each other work and why it's important to Savannah to have Lex directing her on camera as well. You hear how they got into the porn industry and what effects the internet has had on their industry, on porn, and specifically their ability to live off what they do. It's a real interesting look at the business side of the porn business, the price differentials for performers and acts, how to become a household name and an industry icon, and they both offer up their thoughts on how Talk is Jericho alumni Asa Akira built her successful career and reputation in the industry. So Lexington Steel and Savannah Styles are on the way. But first, Fozzy is also on the way to your town. Gemini Syndrome and The Stir. Wow, both great bands are with us. And we're hitting the Riff Fest in Detroit Rock City tonight after doing a sold-out show in Columbus last night. And actually in Fort Wayne, we had a bigger walk-up than pre-sales, which is the first time ever in our career this happened. That's the Judas Effect, number 12 on rock radio, 9.2 million views on YouTube, etc., etc. So many good things happening. Saturday night, we are in Libertyville, Illinois, at the Austin Fuel Room. October 1st, Janesville at Sonic Boom with Mastodon will be on that show. October 3rd, Buffalo at the Rapids Theater. It's actually Niagara Falls. October 4th, Wilkes-Barre at the Chandelier. October 5th, Worcester at the Palladium. October 6th, Wilmington at the World Live at the Queen, Wilmington, Delaware. October 7th, Jacksonville, North Carolina at the Tar Heel Opry House. That changed from Wilmington, North Carolina, if you're apparently planning to go on that show. October 8th, Winston-Salem at Johnny and June's Ultra Saloon. Get your tickets. I'm telling you, when we sold out in Columbus, the day before the show, that could be the first American sellout that we've had. Well, we had one sellout last tour, but it was a smaller venue, but one really, anytime you sell out, it's great. Small venue, big venue, whatever it may be. But after that, we were taking the Judas Rising tour to Europe. It starts October 27th in Birmingham. It's Dublin, Belfast, Halloween in Chester, then Manchester on the 1st, London, Sheffield, Glasgow, Newcastle. Then we head over to the big country, Amsterdam, Aschaffenburg, Pratteln, Switzerland, Ronkeid, Italy, Rome, Trezzo, Italy is actually on November 10th. The 14th is Vienna, Munich, Essen, Hamburg, and Genk. Tickets moving really well for all those as well. We're going to get some sellouts in there. Looks like Glasgow is going to sell out fairly quickly, and Birmingham, and Hamburg. So if you're thinking about going to those shows, buy them soon. And if you're thinking about being a Fozzy VIP, don't you dare miss it. We have such a great time. We do a mini concert for you. Last night, what did we play? We played Judas. We played Drinking with Jesus. We played TNT. We played Mental Health. We had a fan request, which was Lights Go Out. We did Last Train to Clarksville by the Monkees. We did Chris and Polly's solo act, How Ya and the Doings. So much great stuff. Go to FozzyRock.com if you want to be a part of the best VIP package in the business. And remember, if you pre-order Judas, you can get Drinking with Jesus on your iTunes right now. You don't have to wait till October 13th till the album comes out. And you don't have to wait anyways, because this is the new Fozzy song as the instant track. If you pre-order Judas, this is called Drinking with Jesus right here. Talk to Jericho.
Drowned in the holy water at the bottom of the trenches.
Drinking with Jesus. That is the new one from Fozzy. What a banger. It'll be on the Judas album coming out October 13th. Thanks to everybody who's already pre-ordered, and thanks to everyone who's already reserved their cabin for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. That's happening next October next October, October of 2018. A lot of people think it's 2017. No, I would never do that. Put on a show and a cruise of that magnitude in only 1 month notice. It's October 2018. Lineup is already stacked. But we're going to keep adding it to it. So go subscribe to Talk is Jericho at Apple Podcasts. You'll be the first to know who's joined the Rager at Sea. Joining already, me, Chris Jericho. I will be there. Jim Ross hosting the cruise. Mick Foley, Hall of Famer. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Hall of Famer. Diamond Dallas Page, Hall of Famer. Rey Mysterio, Lance Storm, and Cyrus from Killing the Town. Keep it 100 with Conan Disco and Shane Helms will be there. Beyond the Darkness, Dave and Tim will be there doing some paranormal activities. Like I said, Raven's going to be there. Jim Brewer doing some comedy. Busted Open joining the festivities. Fozzie will be playing. Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, Talk is Jericho alumni. King, Talk is Jericho alumni. The Dives, featuring Evan Stanley, who just so happened to be Paul's Stanley's son. Dave Spivak Project Spiwi is right here. You've heard him. Jim Brewer's Loud and Rowdy. Shoot Your Thrill, the world's best female AC/DC cover band. Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's best Ozzy Osbourne cover band. And the Pièce de Résistance for the first time ever. Ring of Honor will be having the Sea of Honor tournament in the middle of the ocean. A ring has been set up on the deck. We've done all the engineer analysis. It is safe. It is going to be on board, and there will be a Ring of Honor tournament with 12 of the top Ring of Honor superstars. We're going to announce some of them very, very soon. Four of the Women of Honor are going to be there. It's going to be something that's never been done before. So reserve your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. It's a $150 deposit that's going to hold your spot. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Make sure you go check that out now. Don't miss it. It's going to be hopefully the first of an annual tradition, and it's going to be amazing. All right, one last piece of business before we get to Lexington Steel and Savannah Styles Porn's power couple, and that's thanking one of the great Talk is Jericho sponsors who lets me do this show for you for free for twice a week. I'm talking about True Car. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, there's only one thing you need. I'm talking about True Car. True Car made my car buying experience quick and easy, just like they promised. They also saved me a ton of money, and True Car can and will do the same for you. With True Car, you get upfront pricing information so you can enjoy a better car buying experience. When I say upfront pricing, I'm talking about real pricing on actual inventory that's in stock at the local True Car certified dealer of your Schwazen. Use it. True Car lets you see what other people paid for the car you want so you can determine a fair price. Feel confident when you buy your car. True Car connects you with a local certified dealer of your choosing who will honor your guaranteed savings, which makes your car buying process quicker and easier. And True Car also shows all the dealers available incentives before you arrive at the dealership. True Car users, get this, save on average over $3,000 off MSRP, and over 3 million cars have been sold to True Car users by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. There's over 13,000 dealers in True Car Certified Dealer Network, so there's definitely one near you. And True Car is great if you're looking for a used car as well. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available at True Car Certified Dealers. So when you're ready to buy a new or used vehicle, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. I have used it. It saved me time, money, peace of mind. It's going to help you out. Go to True Car now, and remember, some features not available in all states.
My name is Raven, professional wrestling superstar, raconteur extraordinaire, and master of the Lambada, the forbidden dance. Come join me and my sidekick, Busby, for a live podcast of The Raven Effect. Yes, sirree. The Raven Effect, my podcast with Busby. That's live, on Thursday, October 5th at 9:30 as part of the LA Podcast Festival Preview Night at the Hollywood Improv. Come join us for this most momentous occasion. Tickets are just $15. That's it? I think we should charge more. Anyway, they're available at hollywood.improv.com. Hollywood.improv.com. Again, it's The Raven Effect live. Easy for you to say. At the Hollywood Improv on Thursday, October 5th at 9:30 p.m. Go to hollywood.improv.com for tickets and a free cookie. What, there's no free cookie? Oh, well, quote The Raven, nevermore.
This is Talk is Jericho.
All right, we're getting ready for Porn's Power Couple. I want to say a few words about the original porn dealer, I guess you'd say. He kind of opened up the door. I'm talking about Hugh Hefner. Only had one experience with him when I was doing celebrity duets. I got invited to a party at the Hugh Hefner Playboy Mansion. So I went through the security. I walked into the front gates, and I looked at this giant, immaculate, beautiful house. And I was like, wow, this house is beautiful. It's big. It's so well architected. Like, oh yeah, that's really cool. I said, yeah, man, I never thought I'd be at the Playboy Mansion. They're like, well, that's not the Playboy Mansion. I said, what is it? They said, well, that's Hugh's guest house. And I was like, where's the Playboy Mansion? And they said, it's down there at the end of the field. And there's this giant mansion that was there. It was pretty immaculate. And then looking at that grotto with all the, I'm sure all the fluids that had been dumped in there, it wasn't too appetizing for me. But I did see Anthony Michael Hall throw up on his shoes, which was interesting. And then when Hugh Hefner himself came out into the grounds, and there was chicks everywhere at this place, getting body painted and all these different things. When he came running out or walking out, they all ran over to him and mobbed him like it was Beatlemania. They all knew that Hugh was the one in charge of their futures. And, you know, not a bad run. 91 years old, surrounded by beautiful women his entire life. You know, I'm sure he had some great experiences with quite a few of them. I mean, how many top 10 chicks do you think Hugh Hefner had sex with? I mean, like, 10,000? I mean, is it even possible? Could he even count at this point in time? But, you know, Hugh Hefner is an American icon that created something that's a worldwide brand that'll probably last forever, just like Vince McMahon, just like Lorne Michaels. So, there you go. 91 years old, surrounded by beautiful chicks, and created something that will never be forgotten. Hugh Hefner will live forever, figuratively, for sure. And there you go. That's my Hugh Hefner story. So Godspeed, Hugh. I saw, you know, it's one of those things somebody said, nobody will ever say when Hugh Hefner dies, well, now he's in a better place. You don't have to worry about that with you. So we say goodbye to Hugh Hefner, and coming up, Savannah Styles and Lexington Steel, Porn's Power Couple on Talk is Jericho. I'm here at the house of Lexington Steel and Savannah Styles. Normal married couple. You know, there's like People magazines on the shelf, and there's King Kong poster on the wall. But these two just happen to be, I'm calling them Porn's Power Couple. You guys are like both porn stars, and both beyond that. You have your own whole empires behind you, but you just so happen to be married, which to me just is like such a cool thing. How long have you guys been married for?
It's going to be 2 years in December, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
December you got married. So how did you guys meet each other on a set or at an award show, or how did you guys meet?
We have a cute story, actually. I was still living in Montreal, back in Canada. I'm French-Canadian.
Yes, you can tell.
And I was, big accent still. Mm-hmm. I was barely speaking English at that moment. And I was actually a fan of Lex. So I used to watch porn since I'm 12 years old. I'm very horny. So, and I watched a lot of porn, and Lex was my favorite performer. Yeah. And I was a nurse, but also I was a model. So I had to travel a lot for modeling. And it happened that day I was, my photo shoot was in Las Vegas at the same time that the AVN Awards. So after my shoot, I said, oh, let's go watch that show I never seen in all the porn stars. And I went, I watched the show, dreaming that one day I want to be there. But after the show, I saw him pass on the red carpet, and I said, I have to go see him. I have to have an autograph, something. So that's what I did. And I have, I have an autograph, but I also a picture with him and his phone number.
Wow.
And,
so you were on the hunt. You wanted to meet
Lex. I was a hunter. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but I,
I was saying it's better that we didn't. We didn't catch up because it was in Vegas. So people are on a 24-hour schedule, right? So, but after that, I went to a dinner, and we didn't end up catching up with each other that night.
Yeah, I was partying. I said, come party with me. You say, I'm hungry. I said, okay.
Yeah, so I went to dinner. And by the time I got done with dinner, it was late. It wasn't that late, relatively speaking, for Vegas. But
like 1 a.m. something like this. Yeah. But finally, I said, okay.
I didn't go to the party. We didn't speak until the next day, but we spoke for a long time once we did speak, which is probably better.
Yeah, I was doing my cardio, and he called me. Yeah. Oh, my God, Really?
Because if I went to the party, we might have just partied together and then been like, hey, that was one of those Vegas nights.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah.
That could've been it. And that's how it happens, too, especially being in the business that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, you could hook up and just that's it, like you do with 100 other girls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is before you were in the business? Somehow?
Totally. I was dreaming. That was 2 years I was in my head because I, you know, modeling is not very good money, but also after I was 32, maybe at 31, I say I have to find something else. I don't want to be a nurse anymore, and I want to live in LA. And
so you were a model and a nurse.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was working for a pharmaceutical company in Montreal at that moment. Hmm. But I used to work at hospital too.
But since you were 12 years old, you watched porn, and you always wanted to be in the business.
Not always. I come from a very Catholic family. Mm-hmm. I had like a very good education, very strict. I was a very good girl at school and like a nurse almost. Always at the front of the class and doing my thing. I was the nurse, but it's when I moved to Montreal that my I went discovered the raves and I was for the first time also single, the party and my sexuality. I went to swinger party and then all those things, and I watched more porn. I try because I already had like four guys, and I was 28 years old when I moved to Montreal. Four guys total in my life. But
you'd only slept with four guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that was all my boyfriends. I was no like run. But after that, I just explore my sexual side and saw that, wow, I love it. And after I travel and I love that life. I'm a country girl, but I really love the glamour side. Mm-hmm. So,
did you help her get into the business, Lex?
I think I steered her in the right direction where I could. There's a lot of ways to get into the business for women, but there's also a lot of ways to go in the wrong direction. For every, you know, opportunity, there's an opportunity to make a bad decision. So I think, I was there to suggest, you know, where I could, you know, and be a resource, whether just by experience or just information about the industry.
He also helped me for my first scene because we did my first scene together. With
him. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one.
In the office. Yeah.
So you kind of you took her porn virginity, so to speak, right? That's actually pretty cool because it's almost like a very figurative thing for a husband and wife. You know, like the idea is that you're supposed to, you know, wait until you're married and then you share your first sexual experience together. But you did, in a sense, do that.
That's
your first experience
you
on camera. That's really interesting. So how was that? Were you guys married at this point, Lex?
We
were not married.
Dating?
You know, our situation is different because, you know, we actually hit it off well from the very, very start. So by the time we were monogamous in our personal lives within 3 months of talking.
Yeah, I came 3 or 4 times here for 1, 2, or 3 weeks before I decided to move. You know, it's a big move. Come from Canada and leaving everything behind me to come here, start a new career. I just ride my suitcase in my car, you know.
Yeah.
And
we were very.
Yeah,
much
I was not moved. I wasn't living here yet. That was like the third time I came, and as before, because I had my first shoot scheduled for Brazzers, and I knew. I said, I want to know. Well, first, I have no experience. I don't want to arrive there on set. I want to know if I like it. And I say, you're the good performer. And why not begin a scene with you?
A fan of his as well.
A fan of it. Let's see if I'm good for this. And I realized that, wow, I'm
it worked out pretty well because we shot it here at the house. Mm-hmm. So it was a comfortable environment. Mm. And it was really good.
Mm-hmm. So when you said something earlier, you said you were monogamous in your personal relationship. So how do you do that? How does that work? So obviously your job is to have sex, but you're married.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. You know, as a performer, it's really a case where we understand that there's a difference between sex and love.
Right.
And so what we do is really a performance art, if you know, for lack of a better way to put it, but it's like a performance art. And so we can, you know, allow ourselves to say, hey, work is work. This is what work is. Now, how to be monogamous in your relationship, that's just no different than any type of functional relationship where one would hope that they're in a monogamous relationship. I mean, you know, it takes a long time to decide that you want to be with the one person, and then can you stand for that person to be the only person you're with? And sometimes it takes a long time to find, but I think we found that, and it was very easy to commit, because I personally didn't want to let the distance be a reason for us to not make this happen. Mm-hmm. And part of making it happen was a commitment to monogamy in her absence. So, you know,
gotcha.
Try to deal with it.
So it's almost like, you know, not almost, but it's mm-hmm. like an actor will kiss a girl in a movie or mm-hmm. have like a sex scene, and it's just part of the job.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for you guys when you go to work.
Well, you definitely, making no mistake, we definitely, as a guy, I definitely have to be genuinely attracted to the people I work with. And so does Savannah. So there is some of that. And you have to be aware and allow for the fact that your wife or your woman does act upon her attractions to other men. And that's part of the business. That's why she's good at what
but
she does.
But it's emotionally attracted.
Right.
It's just...
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's
it's
the difference.
Sexual, yeah. It's like, yeah.
If you can remove the emotional DNA from it, and then that's... Yeah. That's
what I don't dream about the guys after. I don't want to cuddle him. I don't want to right. kiss him, you know? It's just
the physical act of sex.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because I think a lot of people wish they could be like that. Mm-hmm. You could be like what you guys do, and the sexual act is sex, but yeah. the love in the house, and like mm-hmm. I said, your kitchen is here, and you've got yeah. you know, a teapot, and like it's just a normal life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But when you
yeah.
go to work, it's just a different type of work,
mm-hmm.
yeah. right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what happens, like, for example, when this is LA, so it doesn't really matter, but your neighbors, you live in a very nice yeah. neighborhood here, do they know what you guys do?
Mm. Well, okay, so I've been here for 5 years, and honestly, I don't know if the neighbors know. I've made a very, very, very appointed effort to make sure that I don't shoot within hours that kids would be in and around. Like, so my neighbors, only one of the neighbors across the street do have children, but I would never do anything that would happen outside or before 9 a.m. or after, say, 4 p.m. because by 4 p.m. most children are back home.
Wow, interesting.
So with that, it's a pretty wide window of opportunity to get some shooting done. But say between 9 and 4, you can get one of my productions done if we shoot here at the house without a problem.
But if the guys watch porn, I'm sure they're gonna recognize you.
Yeah.
And also, well, you add yeah. some license on your car, like Lexus.
Oh, well, you had some personalized plates.
Yes, I think cars, the. Yeah,
what does the plate say?
I mean, one was like L. And then with three X's,
okay, gotcha.
S, a T, and an L. So it's phonetically, you could see it. But if you didn't know, then it would pass over you.
Right. Yeah.
But if you thought porno anywhere in your head, you'd be like, oh,
well,
yeah.
The thing is too, like when Savannah, you go to the gym or go jogging or something, I mean, the way you look, it definitely makes you stand yeah. out from the crowd as it is.
Yeah, people ask me, are you a model or are you?
Yeah. So yeah. What kind of a model were you? Like print, magazine?
I did three type of modeling. When I began at 18 years old, I did a like a mini courses for modeling, for how to walk, how to do makeup, how to photo shoot, present myself. So I did a lot of commercial fashion show that was more for the fashion way, picked photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I did a lot of fitness for 4 years. I did three fitness competition. So I did fitness magazine, fitness photo shoot, and I went more that way. And after, I decided fitness, it's a lifestyle. It's very demanding. It's very, mm-hmm. you have to keep up. And then almost have no life. For real, the diet is so strict. You cannot drink and go eat for your friend, because there's nothing. You have to go to the gym 1-2 times per day, almost 6-7 days per week.
Right.
So at this point, I stopped and I decided to be more... I have more fat on me, so a bit more curvy. I went more to the glamour way, so I did the lingerie, more bikini. Until one day I had an offer to do the cover of Hustler magazine, who is nude, and I did. And yeah, that was my first nude thing in 2012. And after that, I had a lot of offers for nude shoots. So it's like a transition,
sure,
finally,
sure, sure.
to the porn.
And the out there.
Yeah.
Now, Lex, how did you get into the business?
Well, I started doing swinger parties in New York, and I met a guy that said, hey, would you be interested in doing magazines? So I did some magazines in New York that led to meeting a video producer in New York, and I used the experience with the magazines to show the guy that I could do video, and I got my opportunity in like December of 96, and then by December of 97 I came out to LA for the first time, and then by January of 98 I came out to the convention in Vegas. And that was where I really started to meet people that were going to hire me regularly. So essentially, from the lifestyle, which is a catchword for swinging, you know.
When you said a swinger party, that's like everyone just goes with their...
Yeah, it's like, okay, all right. Well,
explain what that is all about. Okay,
so I was a member of this traveling group called the Gentle Giants, right? It was like five or six guys with, you know, well-hung guys. And we would travel up and down the Eastern Seaboard hosting swinger parties where couples would come together on a Friday or Saturday night and we would have sex with their wives. And most of the time, the husbands would tape it so they'd have something to take home with their wives and they could enjoy it another, you know, in their personal time. So I had a lot of experience having sex in front of cameras recreationally. And then on top of that, I had a couple of things that were paid situations in terms of making videos for private, you know, people that want private videos. But it all came into giving me the experience to transfer into doing video. And when given the opportunity to do the video, it really was deciding to not necessarily realize a dream per se, but more or less continue being an athlete, because I was an athlete in high school and college, but at this point to be a professional athlete, because now I'm going to be paid to do this athletic event, which was having sex on film.
Yeah.
And it was definitely in stark contrast to the job I had at the time. When I got into the movies, I was in my fifth or sixth year as a stockbroker. I worked for...
You were a stockbroker?
Yeah. Yeah, 6 years on Wall Street. I was Wall Street.
On Wall Street?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, and as a matter of fact, 3 years at 67 Wall Street, and then another 3 years at Oppenheimer, which is in the World Trade Center, one of the World Trade Centers. So had I still been a broker, I might have been in the building. Wow. I would have been in the buildings at 9/11. So it was kind of porno, kind of like, you know.
Saved your life.
Saved my life, so to speak. You know what I'm saying, right? So.
See, this is very interesting, though. You have a nurse. Savannah was a nurse. Yeah. And Lex was a Wall Street stockbroker. Yeah. You guys are smart people.
Yeah.
Educated.
I was smart enough to get out. Smart enough to get out of porn. Yeah.
But that's the thing, too, because you think porn a lot of times is like, oh, it's a little bit of perception is that they're just kind of runaway
most
chicks.
Most people, they begin very early, like 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
We begin, at 32 for me and 28 for you, I think.
Well, so that's so older more rare, for the business, right?
Yeah.
It's
older.
For guys, it's an old man's game. Or not old man, but it's not a boy's game. It's a man's game in terms of most guys don't get into their late 20s or early 30s. It's because the maturity level for a guy has to be totally intact, right? Whereas with women, the earlier the better, because there's such a necessity for new girls.
Mm-hmm.
New girls are always a star. The woman is always the star in any scene that is created, mm-hmm. right? So with that premise... You know, that drives need for new.
But also the thing now, very trendy, it's to put, it's the stepmom, stepdaughter thing. Mm-hmm. After 30 years old, I'm considered as a MILF. Mm-hmm. And I'm always matched with a younger guy or younger girl who are, so I'm like...
But you look like you're 25 years old.
I know, but it doesn't, it's play against me. If I were looking older, I think I would have more... I add more scenes.
Yeah,
because I would look more like a mom. Almost all the scenes are like this, if you watch.
What is this? There's the two genres that get the most attention are the young, which is the 18 to say 20, college age, 18 to 22.
Like innocent, all natural, right? You look
really. 22 and younger, up to 18, so 22 to 18. And then on the other side of it would be those that represent 35, not necessarily as young as Savannah, but 35 and older. Now, she falls in between those two groups. So it's tougher because you're in that middle. You're not young enough. You're not, you know, you look a little bit older than the one subgroup that's very popular, and you're not quite old enough to represent the older group, which is a popular subgroup.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's challenging for, despite, you know.
Yeah, that was challenging. So I didn't expect it when I moved here.
Yeah, like you'd have a problem getting gigs.
But everybody said, you have the porn star look, but it's not really what it demands now. It was like either like the MILF or the young, but it's the eyes. But finally, because I have to struggle, I decided to put a lot of time on produce videos, either for my clip for sales, also touch the fetish side of the industry. I say I have to create my own job, what finally threw me to the directing.
Sure. But another thing too that I think is sexy is like you have the French accent. Like that puts you different as well.
Yeah, there's something that I have the French.
So if there's accent fetishes, like, then you'd be all set.
Yeah. But also I lost some scenes because I had an accent.
Oh, you know? I understand.
Play good or play bad. Yeah. Like,
so Lex, you mentioned guys in porn and guys like Ron Jeremy, Peter North, they're older. Everyone still knows who they are, however. I don't know any 20-year-olds in porn, the guys, nor should I. I want to talk about why that is. After we talk about how to live a healthier life, and everyone listening knows exactly what I'm going to say next. I'm talking about DDP Yoga, and I'm saying it not only because Dallas is a longtime sponsor of the show, but also because DDP Yoga really works. He's going to be doing it on the Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager on the deck. So if you come aboard at ChrisJerichoCruise.com, one of the many, many activities is actually getting personal, private DDP Yoga lessons with DDP on the deck of the ship. It worked for me. It also worked for Jared Mollenkamp. He's got an incredible DDP Yoga story. Jared saw Dallas on the streets of Utah, went up to him and said that he had lost 190 pounds in 8 months doing DDP Yoga. Completely crazy, but completely true. So Dallas asked Jared if he had taken the 6 starting pictures. Jared said he had, but he'd done something better. He'd actually filmed all his progress as well. So now fast forward nearly 18 months, Jared has lost 313 pounds. It's crazy. He's forever changed his life. I've seen the pictures and the video. Jared's transformation is real, and that's the thing about DDP Yoga. No actors, no models. These are real people with real stories and real life transformations, just like me. You know, DDP Yoga saved my career, my wrestling career, my singing career. That's why I'm still out performing with Fozzy. We've been killing it this week here on the tour, and that's a lot because I have my core back in track and I can sing like I always used to. DDP Yoga can help you as well. Get on the path to healthier living and do it now by going to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and taking advantage of an exclusive sale that Dallas is offering to all of you sexy beast Talk is Jericho listeners. And you can also get the DDP Yoga Now app whenever you want, so you can work out wherever you are, wherever you want. It's available for iOS and Android. That's what I use. I open the app, I get to work wherever I am, on the bus, in the dress room, at the hotel where I'm right now. I'm going to do some DDP Yoga as soon as I finish tracking this here in Columbus. But my own living room at home helps as well. DDP makes it that easy and that convenient, and you can do it for you as well. DDP Yoga changed my life, gave me a better quality of life, and he can do the same for you. Get started today. ddpyoga.com/Jericho. ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get in the best physical and mental shape of your life. Do it now. Own your life. Go there today. ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Do it now.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz winter event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho inviting you to the first ever Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Picture this: rock and roll, wrestling, comedy, live podcasting, all on the open ocean from October 27th to the 31st, 2018, from Miami to Nassau. I'm bringing Hall of Fame wrestlers, some of the greatest rock and roll bands on the planet, and putting the first wrestling ring on a cruise ship ever. Don't be a stupid idiot. Make the list. Check us out at ChrisJerichoCruise.com.
Talk is Jericho.
So, as you mentioned something too about for guys in porn, it's a little bit more, because you still think, like, I saw Ron Jeremy last time I was at the Rainbow, still surrounded by chicks. Everyone loves Ron Jeremy. You know him. He's like, right. This, don't even hang out. I got nothing to say. I'm not even funny anymore, whatever. But he's still like Ron Jeremy, Peter North, all these guys, you know, that you still think about, and they're older guys. I don't know any 20-year-old male yeah. porno stars, you know? It's just that's just the way it skews, right?
With the guys, there's a few guys that have reached that status, that icon status. I mean, Ron and Peter, you know, good guys been around forever. Not that they've still been having sex on film for like the last
Yeah.
You know, decade or so, but it's just that popularity is just that strong. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, but when I was saying earlier with the guys in maturity levels, it's just that, you know, a guy being presented with all these fantastic women on a regular basis is like a kid in a candy store. And if you are not of a certain maturity level, you can handle that in the wrong way. And bearing in mind, there's a lot of money riding on your performance. So there's a lot of maturity level that's needed to do this, knowing that people have invested money in you and they're not, it's not for your recreation. And it takes a little bit, it takes a few years to really get to the point where
interesting.
You know, and a younger guy at 22, I would have been a horror show, you know, because I wouldn't be able to, you know, I probably would have came with no discipline, you know.
Because that's the thing, like, you know, your job yeah. is to stay hard
yeah.
and to not come for as long
yeah.
as you can.
Yeah.
Now, for a normal guy, that's hard sometimes. Yeah. Just, you know, these penises are weird things. Sometimes yeah. they do their own thing. Yeah. But for on camera, like you said, when you have, you know, here's the scene, the set's all ready to go, the camera's all here. What do you do in that situation?
Oh man, I mean, well, the first thing that you learn if you want to stay in the business is first not to come, and second to come. What I mean is, right, not to come early, right, and then to be able to come on cue. And
come
if you have and if you have those two things down, those are the rudiments. Mm-hmm. Those are the first two things every guy must learn, and then you could.
And also get hard with a girl that you're not attracted by.
That must be hard, too.
You have to find something in your head. Or
Have you had that in the past? I'm sure you guys can choose whoever you want, but at the time...
No, we don't choose.
Well, really? How does that work?
Well, it takes a lot for... Well, women, you guys get a chance to choose from the beginning.
We don't have a chance to choose. We get. We have an agency, usually.
Agency.
And they say you're going to booking that date, and the day before, I know the guy I'm going to work with. I can have like a blacklist if I want, but if not, I'm going to work with who I'm going to work. Me, I don't refuse a scene. I want to.
So you're saying you have a blacklist, like I don't want to work with him,
yeah,
and him.
Me,
but
personally, I don't have one, but if...
If you did.
But if not, you
everybody
work...
Everybody else is...
Yeah, it's not a question of attraction or not. It's
I think it must be like kind of like a stripper if someone's paying you like for a lap dance. I'm going to give you $500 for 10 lap dances, and the guy's like some disgusting, fat, smelly guy. What do you do?
Yeah, but there's no disgusting men in the industry.
Sure.
And well, I'm happy now.
I mean, there were
number one. So, I think now the guys they're looking very good. They're in shape.
Yeah.
I think more than it used to maybe 10, 20 years ago. I don't know.
We also know too that only goes so far. There could be people you just don't like. Is like that physical attraction is one thing, but for me, if I don't think the person is cool, I don't have anything to do with them. Mm-hmm. So if you're meeting some guy that rubs you the wrong way, or he's an asshole, he's a jerk. Is that hard?
But those people don't last long.
Okay,
The girl will be there now because people. The director will not hire them anymore. And most of the stars or starlet, they have a great personality. I never have so much fun on the work again because everybody is so nice compared to many other jobs I had in the past. Yeah, people can judge it, but while the people in the industry are so good.
Yeah, because I mean, this is definitely a.
You have to work with everybody. Work together.
People-oriented business, you know, because it's a hands-on business, you know.
But it's probably a pretty small world within the business, too, right?
Well, I mean, you see, if you last, if you're in it for more than say a year, you'll recognize that you know, part of becoming a star is being able to last, you know. So, the people that you see on a regular basis, you know, are very good at what they do, and that's why they're there. Mm-hmm. You do have to be prepared to find some or be able to work with people that you're not attracted to on a physical level, emotional. Some days, you know, the girl might be on her period and she may have a particular attitude that just happens to put me on the other side of who she wants to work with. Normally, her and I would be cool, but we still got to work together, you know, and
you still got to do your scene, right?
And yeah. I have to carry my end of the bargain, you know. It's a lot more difficult in our case.
Yeah, and men, but as a girl, sometimes it's painful, you know. It's not just out of fun. The guys are big. The guys, they go always deeper and stronger, and you know, and mm-hmm. two cocks in the same hole and deep through, more deep. It's like we have also to look and react and talk like it's so enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So
can't wait to do this.
Yeah. No, right. We never see that. It's that was super painful. I was looking like I love it, like I came or that.
That's your job.
That's why we say we're performers. Mm-hmm. And but I still like it. It's not always on the sexual level. I love it after. Wow, I really did a performance like an athlete. It's happy for what you just did.
You had a good show.
I had a good show.
You know,
yeah,
a good show, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How is it for you, Lex? I mean, as a guy, and I know we're putting professional, but does it ever like you a little ever not jealous, but do you ever like think, oh, really? Like she's with a guy and you're kind of watching it. Like, is it completely detached?
No. Actually, we just shot Saturday and she performed with another girl and another guy. And the guy in the scene I've known for 20 years and he's one of the best performers in the world. And whenever I'm on camera as, you know, as videographer, no, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I've shot girls I've been involved with. Mm-hmm. You know, in relationships in the past. I mean, you know, so shooting my wife performing, nah, it's just like she's Savannah Styles, you know, and every all the other times she's the woman that I'm married to.
Right,
so
right.
When we're on set, you know, I'm Lexan Steele and I'm on camera, mm-hmm. you know, and so no, it doesn't bother me. The thing about it too is if it bothered me, then I would be impeding her performance, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Because that would be a detriment to her doing her best job.
Right.
So I would never want to step on the toes of my wife doing what she does.
I admit I was stressed the first time because when I launched my company, Alpha Females, and I had to choose the cameraman. And first I choose him for every scene that I'm not in. And after I said, I can shoot your scene. You sure? And the first time I said, oh, really? You can...
Lex being kind of behind the camera.
Yeah, you can shoot more. And it's the first time we do it. And that went very well. And I was like, okay, wow, now... Okay, let's go for everything.
Something always makes me laugh when I'm on set and they talk about the DP. Mm-hmm. It's like the director of photography. Yeah. In this case, you're the DP of the DP.
Yeah. No, it was a case where like her movie, The Riders, which is her first movie.
I want to talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, she, you know... That would have been the first time I would have shot you in a scene, right?
You didn't that first time you didn't shoot me because I didn't book you at all. You could not handle it.
Yeah,
but after that, you see, you did all the scenes for all the other shoot, and he was like, it's like you didn't finish that. But the next movie of my showcase, you shot me.
Yeah, it was
and
fine,
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, but,
and
you need to know that was going to be cool. I mean,
and that was really cool, and now we go with it. And in my I don't do camera. I would never shot him, but I did threesome with him. And I met him as a fan, so I love watching porn. I love to see him. Another girl like that is getting me horny, actually. I still like it, really.
Yeah, which is, once again, it's funny because this is like, you know, you used to watch him and you almost like
used to watch him
like a fan and now you're married to him. Right?
I still masturbate watching him f***ing other girls when he go on set. Who are you f***ing today? And sometimes I go masturbate thinking about what he's doing.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's my perverse idea.
Queen,
that's what they told me I am.
But let's talk about you mentioned the writers and Lex, you've been doing this for a long time too, as far as directing and producing, because the porn business has changed so much over the last 10 years, 15 years. I mean, even like the record business has changed, the music business or the book business, whereas before you had to buy it. Now it's so accessible, so free. I mean, I can remember, you know, we used to call it spank revision. You'd go in the hotel and turn on the movies, which one you want to see, and you'd pay for it. That's gone.
Yeah.
So has that affected your overall revenue over the years?
Yeah, I would say that everything was good. I started, you know, in 98, and then I opened my first company in 2003. I would say by 2011 is when things started to go, like, become a problem with the internet. And the thing is, the ultimate problem is this, that there's a generation or two, anybody that's above the age of, say, 22 and above, right? They've never paid for media online, yeah. Right? So right. How do we, you know, so it'd be different if you were someone that used to have to pay for membership to get your media. Now these guys have literally never paid for media. So that's a big issue. And yeah, it was crushing to about 40% of the market of the studios, you know what I'm saying? And my studio was one of the ones that really suffered.
What's your studio called?
Mercenary Pictures.
Mercenary Pictures.
And
really suffered?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because the thing is like, you had to be able to make that transition from, you know, from DVD sales to online sales, but you also had to fight against the unauthorized usage. And how much money were you losing to the people pirating your media?
Right.
But if you didn't have the money to pay for the people to chase down the pirates, then you just had a hole in the bottom of your ship that was just bleeding, you know, this, you know, if you will. And so it was tough. So but you know, the good companies and good brands, you know, I transitioned to another company called Lex and Steel Productions, which, you know, which I've done well with over the last 3 or 4 years. And now we're launching Lex and Steel Media Group this month of September, which is, which would be my third label with media in the market, with a fully active catalog.
So how do you make money then from the scenes that are on the internet?
Well, you still make money by DVD sales, but the thing is DVD sales is no longer the primary.
Sure, that's going away too.
Yeah, but the thing I tell people all the time, if you're one of the good studios, one of the good brands, people still want to own your media. It's like if people that read books, I'm an avid reader, right? But do I want to read my book on a you know
iPad.
Kindle, or
do I want a hard copy? I particularly not only don't want a hard copy, as opposed to paperback, I still buy hardcover books.
Yes,
right. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, I'll remain. You know, my brand remains one of the people that people want to own the actual media, and that's by way of DVD. But the main thing is broadcasting and licensing. That's the main thing. That as long as broadcasting and licensing are now your focus, you're in the right direction, the right mind frame.
It's the same for me. I just put a book out. I have an album coming out in a couple of weeks, and it's like these people still like signings, you know, going to the show, sign, because you can't replace that.
Yeah.
And same with you, right?
Yes. Savannah, and the exposition, like AVN or Exotica, we bring all the CDs, and people, they're going to pay like 20.
You can sign your cover,
Want the picture.
Yeah.
And same thing when you mentioned a few weeks ago where you were dancing in.
It was in Texas.
Texas, whatever it was, yeah.
And,
where was that again? Laredo or something?
That was a. Some
little town in Texas, but do you do a lot of
Houston? You were
no, I wasn't in. I wasn't Houston.
It was some small place, right?
Yes.
Red Raiders are Texas Tech.
Lubbock.
Yeah, there you go. Lubbock.
Texas Tech, Red Raiders.
And they hire me again for next next month. Yeah.
So do you do a lot of that? Go and do dancing?
It's one of the part of the most pay of our job. You know?
It is.
It's
right.
Why you want to be a porn star. It's what you do scenes. Even sometimes I shoot content for my website. It's not that I do a lot of money. It's just I want to boost my popularity. But I have more fans. And always on social media, always post. It's part of my job to get some views. And after that, she has a lot of followers, she has a lot of fans. Now you get hired for feature dance and getting paid just for arrive to stage. Plus after you can sell what you want. And now I'm going to, after that, you host party. You host,
Smaller towns are probably, people are spending a lot more money than if you go to Vegas or something, correct? Yeah.
Vegas can be good, like you go Sapphire and those things. But yeah, those smaller towns, they have not many events. There's no porn star there. There's no star. Mm-hmm. So you go there and they're like, wow, and that's a really great experience.
So when you're talking about your movies and we're looking at the writers, so I know, like, when I had Stormy on, she writes her own stuff, and very involved in like the costuming and the casting. So when you did the writers, you directed it, you wrote it, what did you do?
I did almost everything.
You wrote it too?
I neither wrote, but I thought about the concept.
Yeah.
I in my head, I have everything, all the dialogues in my head. So I have to arrive on set. And I chose such great performer. I didn't have to give them the dialogues. I told them what's the concept, what they have to say. I say, okay, now that part, you have just to react like
sure,
this.
Sure, sure.
I left them some improvisation. But I created the costume, everything. I went to shop. I sewed. I did everything.
So,
everything. I passed hour creating the costume. And I hated the part to pick the music.
But it looks like it's a Western. So
I shot the four scenes in a ranch finally, and in the same place. It's like the concept is I am in a saloon. I own a saloon. I'm a cowgirl, and those triggers. I have a different story with each one of them. Each scenes, like Adriana arrived to kill me, like a duel. And she have a reason why she wants to kill me. And finally, I say, I have something for you, donkey. I just received a stallion. It's muscular, you know, it's like experimented. It's a great one. I want it for me, but I'm ready to give it to you if you want to forgive me. So she comes. I bring in the stallion. It's a metaphor. The stallion is the guy, you know.
Metaphor.
Yeah. So the guy, and she has to ride him finally in every position. We used to see girls get f***ed in movie, and like every position, the guy f***ed the girl, and I realized in my real life that most of the guys are not lazy, but they love to lay down and get fucked, you know, the girl. And I said,
That's not me. Yeah.
Other guys.
Most of the guys, they love lay down and
in
the girl jump
experience.
On them. Yeah.
Right.
And just not me, what the girls told, my friend told me. And I know many guys are like, and they will love just a girl take the control of all the sex. And
who, where did you get the budget for this? Like who's funding these?
I found in
yourself.
Yourself. I worked as much.
So it's an independent production.
Totally independent.
Is that how you do yours too, Lex? Your productions for Mercenary?
I've been fully independent from the very beginning, and I've had put a new movie out in the market every month since April 2003. You know, whether it's been as high as 4 titles a month, as few as 1 titles a month, and sometimes no titles, but no. No, it's always something that we're putting out. And
these are Orgy Heroes. This is the one.
Orgy Heroes.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is it's really a matter of always putting out some new stuff. It's not necessarily how many, but just that I wanted to, if it's going to put something out, it's going to be a quality production. So that's what I was trying to do, is just more so adhere to quality over quantity. Would I put out more titles if I could? I wouldn't exceed 4 titles a month, which would be one title a week, because any more than that, then you're saturating, you know, the market.
Sure, sure.
Is this
like kind of the gonzo porn, or do you have stories for everyone?
There is like 3 type of movie: the gonzo, the vignette, and the feature.
I'll explain the difference between the three.
You can explain more than me.
The feature is just your dialogue and your plot oriented media, right? It's just like your regular
Caribbean pirate, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Big budget, $100,000.
And then there's the popularity with feature porn is the parodies. There's a lot of big movie memes, big porn parody is going to be following.
Right? Shaving Ryan's Privates.
Yeah, something like that, right? You know, Suicide Squad. Literally, we're using the same names.
Still call it Suicide Squad.
It could be. It'll be like, Suicide Squad, a porn star parody,
or like Justice League.
They won't come after
Justice
you for
League,
that.
Triple X, they can't, because you know they don't. You might own those two words, but you don't own the space before that or after it. And believe me, I know, because I had a title called Hell's Angels, about maybe 13-14 years ago in the market, and they came after me. And I found out very well, like, what it means to own, you know, X amount, if you own two words, you know what I'm saying? But so parody.
If you own Hell's Angels, but because you're saying a parody after it, then it's okay. Interesting.
And and believe me, like, when they contacted me, it was much better that their lawyers contacted me, and I had to do a full recall. And I paid them like a somewhat of a fine.
Oh, wow.
So it's something that most of the companies are very, very confident they're not going to run into a problem. Mm-hmm. And then the vignette, The Riders was a vignette oriented movie where vignettes are each scene has a connection to each.
Gotcha.
It's not necessarily like you don't have like a running plot or something, but it's more so there's a running connection.
There is no scene that all the actresses are together. Actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All scenes are connected.
There's a theme, yeah.
Yeah, it's causally connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's this full-on gonzo or all sex. And by definition, gonzo means that the talent acknowledges the presence of the camera. So,
oh, they're looking at the camera.
Yeah, that's all gonzo really means by definition, is that sometimes the talent may look directly and acknowledge the camera. And so, and then all sex is the same thing, just without the talent acknowledging the camera. So, Origin Heroes, as a matter of fact, is more all sex because the talent does not recognize the camera, the presence of the camera, and you know,
right.
Yeah, and then The Riders is really special because when you see the way she pulls every scene together, it's really, really cool without it being a plot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full dialogue on top of the sex too, you know. So
when you make The Riders, for example, Savannah, and it's all done and you finish editing it, because you said you edit it yourself.
I edit most of my scene for The Riders. I had the of course I had the help. We edited most of this movie. It's a huge budget movie, so I took a Weiner as editor.
Yeah, we have like my editor for years. So but I mean,
we kind of collaborate. Yeah.
Sure.
I picked the music and I did the trailer. When he gave it to me, I changed it because I know because I'm very picky. You know, I know exactly what I want, and I'm ready to pass all night to edit something just for be perfect with what I want. But I do edit.
So when it's all done, and then where do you take it to sell it? Do you have a distributor? Do you take it like, is it like,
well,
you
go to this is his role for
this? This is your thing?
Yeah. Well, what I did, you know, essentially with Mercenary Pictures and Lexington Productions, I had, you know, really facilitated my own distribution, right? And then with Lexington Productions, I was doing that actually through a company called Evil Angel. And, but I want to go back to doing my own thing, you know, my own distribution, not necessarily adhering to the parameters set by another company. So I launched the Lexington Steel Media Group. And the difference between Lexington Steel Media Group and anything else I've done before is it's my first foray into distributing other people's product. So the media group is made up of Lexington Productions, which is my stuff, Alpha Females LLC, which is Savannah's stuff, and also Savannah also got a Canadian company that will be that she'll be producing media for that will also distribute through the media group, and then there's one or two other individuals within the industry that want to come on board as well. So what I do is I facilitate the distribution for the media group and taking a small percentage from East Studio, as well as our overall distributor, who takes a much larger. So we're able to offer really good deals for people that otherwise would not be able to get to the marketplace, and it gives me a chance to make money off my as a brand, or allowing my brand to really be the catalyst for making money for others.
So let's say if I make a record, and you're scared that it's going to leak, and pirates are going to pick it up, and it goes and it's done. Is it the same with something like The Riders? Like, are you scared this could end up online tomorrow?
I am, and I'm sure the first 2 hours, the scene's gonna be online. It's gonna be active everywhere. Yeah. That's the way it is.
Just the way it is.
When
right?
I put a scene on my website, 1 or 2 hours later, it's there. It can be a publicity. It depends if they put a 7-minute clip of all the scenes. And there is some streaming now. I'm prepared to it. I know it. But
is it the reality?
It's just the way that the world we live in, right? Is it hard to be the director? Like, did you ever have to like yell at somebody for not doing the right thing? Or
yelling is not my thing. First, I was surrounded by such like experimented people, like in a great photograph with cameraman and performers, and all. That went very good, and I am like I told him, he laughed a bit of me. So I used to direct like a hospital department. I had almost to yell at that moment. I have two nurses and everything to manage. I was sorry, very stressful and hard to have the patient ding, 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 ding. To direct a scene. Whew. thought that was fun and
I just,
easy.
Thinking of you as a nurse is almost like something out of a porno. Like if I'm in the hospital and you walk in, I'm like, what? You're the hot nurse, right?
I may do a nurse thing one day.
Method acting.
Oh, of course.
So you guys mentioned that you have agencies and agents. I mean, you still act in
yeah,
movies?
But as a guy, I've never had an agency. Women, she'll explain, but not me personally. I don't have any.
So how do you show up on set then? They call you.
Yeah. People will contact me directly. You know, over the years, my number. I've had the same phone number.
Okay,
email,
so they know how to find you.
So people know how to get a hold of me. You know, word of mouth. But it's different. It's different for women. There's agencies that also represent men and women as well. Mm-hmm. But me in particular, no.
But they fit a certain category too, right? Like is it BBC?
Yeah.
Right?
I would be one of the
BBCs?
I'd be like one of the founders of the genre by definition in the dictionary. They have my picture in there. But no. I mean, it's all good. Now that the agencies are there for guys as well, and she'll tell you how the agencies have.
Yeah, so well, let's say you get up on Monday, and do you get like a schedule every week?
Month? There's nothing. It's random.
Okay.
Probably you can say I can wake up a morning. Oh, I have a booking for that date.
Oh, really?
Is
that quick?
They book you usually 2-3 weeks in advance. But it can also if someday one day a girl don't show up, you can call me. Hey, do you want to come today or tomorrow for?
Oh, wow.
For a scene.
You have to stay tested.
Yeah, I always stay tested. Every two weeks, we go to a talent testing.
So
the place we get the pee and the blood, the test, and
full panel.
So that's very, very strict in the state of California as well, right?
Well, for us, I don't know about the rest of the state of California. I know that we have to go. Used to be my first 10 years or so was once a month. Now it's twice a month, you know, and it's not cheap. It's like $155. You know, a visit, a test. So I mean, it's like it to be in the business now. It costs money as an individual, you know, to be active.
Where do you go for those tests? Is it like just like a lab, like a Quest Labs or something?
Well, yeah, there's two test centers that the industry pretty much recognizes in LA, but these test centers also have satellite branches in Vegas, in New York, in Miami.
Okay.
So if Savannah is shooting in Miami. When she arrives, she might take a fresh test at the Miami branch. And her test will look the same as mine that I took here in LA.
Both are. It's talent testing and CET.
So it has to be like the doctor that's approved.
Yeah, there's no doctors. It's only nurses.
The test center. It will be talent testing is one of the talent testing and cutting edge.
But you have to go to one of those two.
Ideally, yeah.
They're connected with your agency, so they send a report to your agency.
Well, those are the only ones where, like, if I didn't know her at all, right, and she showed me that her test was from cutting edge or talent testing, I'm like, okay, well, at least I know that the value of her test is as valuable as mine, right?
It's legit.
It's legit. Yeah.
So, and if you're gonna go do a scene, like, do you get paid more depending on what the scene is, or like?
Yes, there's some thing like anal. It can be 300 more, approximately.
What's the most expensive? Like, what would you make?
I think it would be a big gangbang.
Big gangbang.
With DP, you know, anal, like
everything.
Everything. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, there could be more. There's guys more. The price.
Wow. Then,
that.
And then
double anal. You do. You know.
girl, BJ.
Those are easy ones, right?
Price differences for women.
BJ, I think is
like the, 5 or 6, maybe 7.
Yeah, I think.
I can come up with 6 or 7 price differentials for girls off the top of my head. Hand job, blow job.
I never did
solo
job.
girl.
Solo, yeah.
Boy girl, boy girl anal, interracial, DP, and above. Then there's mini gangbang or group orgy. Blow bang, that's 11, and then gangbang will be 12. That's 12.
Just off the top of your head. I'm sure there's a few others.
Price differentials.
Isn't it amazing interracial is still a thing? I guess.
It is incredible that it still is a thing, but you know, it kind of, look, the thing about it is, quite honestly, if you ask most of the girls in the industry, I would say 99.9% of them, certainly from this generation, have no problem with the color line. Most of the girls are like, what the fuck is a color line?
Sometimes right? The agency.
Is
or, no, most of the girls now are like, what the fuck is a color line?
Color line, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Most of the girls, most of the guys are from a generation where that is something that's no longer. But when I talk about price differentials, what happened was, when things got more difficult in terms of the agencies being able to provide enough work for the talent, they had to create another plateau to identify why a girl would either have a job or get more money for a job. Now, if a girl did not do interracial and there wasn't enough work white on white, now the agency's like, well, how do I create more work for her? And then they suggest her doing interracial. Now there's a reason for her to have work where she did not have work before. So now became more about work and less about literally
and first
she doesn't like black guys or white guys.
She's going to wait the big price.
Yeah, it became more about economics.
Like the first anal, you wait out like two or three times what you usually ask for a scene.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that was the machinations of the agencies that bastardized the concept from what it was. Because from what it was, that was an ancient concept that was dying. And they resurrected the concept of interracial, in my opinion, and this is I'll argue this against anyone, they resurrected the concept of interracial as a plateau so they can create work for girls where the work had dried up, and also create another way to increase the price differentials by giving you another reason to charge more. And that's what you said about some girls being paid exorbitant amounts of money to do interracial. And then the next time she shoots doing the interracial scene, she's making a third of what she made the last time. So there's a bastardization on an economic and conceptual level.
We shoot the first interracial, we give you that amount, and you cannot shoot other interracial than
for
our
like,
company.
Yeah, so
for
a girl will shoot, like black.com will do something where they'll shoot a girl and give her a huge amount of money, but then say, hey, we expect you to not shoot another interracial scene for another 6 months. So she's paid well. But who wins? The only winner there is the studio, because number one, she can't do another interracial scene. Now she's popped a cork, if you will.
Right.
Right. But she can't exploit the fact that she's now available for interracial for 6 months.
Yeah,
so that money that she made that for that one scene is going to dry out, but she doesn't get the benefit of having now included that in her toolbox.
It's interesting.
There's so much economic shit about this business that people totally don't even regard. The big game is not a girl with a dick in her mouth. The big game is the money that's being made for that girl having a dick in her mouth
behind the scenes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is why if you're producing and directing all that sort of stuff, then that kind of protects you from that.
Well, control.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, basically the concept is, it's a chess game. It's a chessboard. Do you want to be the second line or you want to be the first line? Most people are the first line. We want to remain that second line. If you can be the king or the queen on that chessboard, fine. It's not bad being a rook or a knight, right? Or a bishop, but you just don't want to be a pawn.
Right. Didn't there used to be, like, I don't know if it still is this way, but if you were a Vivid girl, you only made movies for Vivid.
Yeah.
Contract.
Is that still, like it's old school 1930s yes, Hollywood no, no, where you work for awesome. That studio
it's
only?
It's more rare. It's like
it's the, rare, but yeah. The girls that can maintain it... maintain it for good reason.
Maybe like the big stars getting
the like Brazzers.
Wicked Pictures and
Jessica Drake, I think. Kira are for Wicked. Riley Steele is for Wicked. Like I think Nikki Benz is for the Brazzers.
Used to be with Brazzers.
The Brazzers.
But so the girls that maintain con, like I would say, like Asa Kira is one of the most coveted contract stars there's ever been, you know. Great performer, female performer of the year. She's won it once. And then the unique, her unique physical attributes of being, you know, a Japanese American, you know.
I was going to say, like, what makes somebody a star? Like, what makes Asa the biggest draw? Exotic look or?
Well, her in particular, I would just say that most men, at least in American, I can't speak in terms of people that are not American, but most American men have something for Asian women. And she represents she's the epitome of that of that fantasy. Couple that with the fact she's a demon at sex. Mm-hmm. It's a great combination, and she's almost genius level
intellect. IQ, so, right?
Yeah,
yes.
IQ.
She is also like you guys, super educated,
yeah.
And
oh yeah, and so nice. You know? Yeah, so she has a package.
Great.
Multiple factor.
Yeah.
Who do you look up to in the business, Savannah? Like, who do you aspire to be with directing and all these other things?
Who I want to which performer?
Which performers do you admire?
You know, I was admiring Romy Rain, Brianna Banks, the three first that I hired. That was, who else I would love?
Romy Rain.
Yeah, Romy Rain.
I haven't seen her before.
This,
She was amazing for.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
She might win female performer of the year this year.
Yeah, that was Phoenix Murray, who I would love to shoot. Yeah, I admire her. She's like an Amazon type. And if I can book her for one of my scenes, there's so many guys. It's one of the reasons I told him yesterday. The reason I want to direct is to put myself in those characters. Like yesterday, 2 days ago, I have Bridget B, who was like, oh, so pretty and so nice. And wow. As I wouldn't. All my long, I would wait to be matched with her if I was not in my scene. So that was one of the reasons.
Is there other couples in the business that are both in the business?
Oh yeah,
lots of married couples.
Bridget B and Marcus Dupree. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're married. Mm-hmm. There is Mick Blue and Annika Albright. Mm-hmm. There is Jesse Jones, Jacqueline Taylor. Jesse Jones from Quebec. It's a guy like me.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of couples.
Brad Knight,
Brad Knight,
Asakira, and Tony
Robbins,
too, right?
Then Brad Armstrong, Jessica Drake.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you guys go out, like on a Saturday night for a date, do you hang out? Who do you hang out with? Do you hang out with those type of people? Do you have your own people you hang out with? Or?
You know, we did a lot of a swinging party.
Uh-huh.
I was a swinger and he is.
Yeah, yeah.
When we matched, wow, we both do have the same passion. So we hang out with people in the industry. Like,
I would say we might go to a swing party once a month.
Yeah.
In LA, there's a club or two that are halfway decent to go to. So we might go to one of those parties maybe once or twice a month. But mostly, we hang out with at this age, my friends have full on families, and so we might hang out with, as couples with who are also married, and then we might go to an industry party.
There's a lot of industry party.
Yeah.
We had an orgy industry party. Very nice.
But the thing is like most of the people in the industry are anywhere from 20 to 25 years younger. So I wouldn't necessarily be hanging out with the 22-year-olds, in a social scenario. But we go out to clubs in LA too, social.
He discovered with me the electronic music.
Ah.
He used to listen more like hip hop thing. I love hip hop too, but I say me, my fashion, I used to DJ a bit, so I am very passionate about house or trance or like tech,
big thing.
So I say, come with me to those what's the name of the club?
The sound. Yeah, we found a couple spots.
It's almost like after hours, but we went to after hours. I just dance for hours on electronic music, and we really love to do that.
But so everyone thinks that you guys are out partying and swinging, but sometimes you're just hanging out playing your Xbox.
We go to cinema very often. We went yesterday. We see almost every movie.
See, that's the thing about, if you're in a lifestyle where it's a 7-day work week, your Tuesday could be just as valuable
as a Friday.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
you
may not get a Saturday night because you're too tired from working all day Saturday, or you've got to shoot Sunday, and Savannah's got to be on as a female. They oftentimes could be on set 8-9 o'clock for makeup.
Yeah.
So if she's got to work on a Sunday, then as a couple, our Saturday is pretty much a wash because she's got to be at her best for Sunday morning.
Right.
So my Saturday night could consist of of playing video games, or going to a movie.
While she's working or something.
We're just toning it down because
for me, I do a lot of computer work. So when I receive a ton of DM emails, so I have to answer all of this, and they're most editing the thing. Yeah. So when he does that.
Well, I may come home from work and not move for 3 hours. And that might be why we don't do.
Does either of you cook?
Oh, she's a great cook.
You're the cook.
I cook. Yeah. What's your
favorite thing she makes?
There's this thing that we do on these little. I don't know how to describe those little things that you heat up.
Okay, it's a thing we have. In French, we name it. It's a raclette. It's a little oven.
Hot plate things.
It's a mini grill. You put on the table. It's electric. So and you put yourself the meat, the little piece of meat that you marinated.
It's almost like Korean barbecue.
Yeah, it's a mini Korean barbecue. It's very popular in Quebec, and I brought it from there. And you never saw it before. And you also have
shrimp, chicken, beef.
Yeah.
Pepper.
The meat, because it's just cooked right away, and you have a lot of sauce that you can. You love
that's
that.
That's a very French thing.
Yeah, I French didn't Canadian, know, yeah. But finally, yes, French Canadian thing. I do love, I'm very carnivore. I love meat, so my barbecue is my specialty. Yes.
Last few questions here. Yeah. You mentioned you guys like to go to the movies a lot. What's your favorite movie that you've seen?
Fence was very good recently.
Fence?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Fences, yeah. That was
really? Good. Is that, who's in that? Is that new?
Denzel Washington and... The dialogues are amazing. And
it was a great play. A long-running...
Yeah.
It
was a Broadway Super Tony Award-winning play for years. Yeah. And then that was a good movie. And then we see... You know, what do we see?
Yesterday we saw Wind River.
Yeah, Wind River. Was good.
That was really good.
So we see, you know, comedies to action to dramas. Girl Trip was really good.
Girl Trip was so funny.
You saw that? That was good.
Oh, my God, it was funny.
So, you know, that's what I see, you know. Yeah. So.
Last question I want to ask you guys, and this, you mentioned that your first scene was together on camera, mm-hmm. and you've done quite a few scenes together since then. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite scene that you did together?
Together, it was like my first anal scene for the massive asses.
Massive asses.
Yeah, that was a good scene together.
That was your first interracial anal.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that was my second anal scene.
Second anal scene, but your first black on white.
Yeah, that was the biggest.
There you go, double.
No, that was good. I remember that scene. That was really good.
The new one with August Taylor is great for the BBC Hunters.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Isn't that out yet?
The movie's called BBC Hunters?
Yeah.
I love the title sometimes.
Well, I did a...
He produced.
I shoot for other... I direct and produce for other companies outside my label as well. And this company gave me the opportunity to do... pretty much the owner gave me the chance to do... to go as far as I wanted to with the vignette oriented type of movie. And so we did one called the BBC Hunters, and it's really the storyline is I am the captain of a group of special force operatives that deploy worldwide, and they're being assassinated by foreign agents, which are actually female assassins.
That sounds great.
And each of the girls have different ethnicities, so I'm able to, and it's really quite ironic, I'm able to attach certain things, like for instance, and the leader is August Taylor, who's actually Asian American, so I attach her affiliation to North Korea. And then we also have Alia Hadid, who has Arabic. One side is Arabic, one side is European American. So she represented, and this is fucked
and
up,
me,
I had her as ISIS, you know, and representing ISIS. Yeah. And she was an agent that was an ISIS operative that was working for. And then Savannah represented the Canadian Special Forces in a joint operation.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So that was really, really good. So, when that comes out, people are going to really enjoy that because that's the first.
Good acting, too.
Seriously.
Funny. It's so great you guys get to role play for a living.
Let me tell you.
I spent. Well, okay. If you look at the attention to detail that, that Savannah put into the riders, this is like really authentic stuff that she did, you know? And so I did something similar to that where, like, you know, with the weaponry used for the movie. So it gives a chance to really, like, she actually put together a fantasy of hers and made it into a commercial.
I explored my creativity and, like,
So that's when, like, playing cops and robbers, but with real money.
My best job since I'm young, I wanted to be an actress. I love acting and I love this world and a porn star. It's like the closest way to be an actress.
You can still act, plus you get to be a cowgirl too.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks again to Savannah Styles and Lexington Steele for giving us such a real look into their lives as a porno married couple and, of course, an inside look at the porn industry as well. And thanks to them for having me in their home to record this interview. So if you're looking for somebody else to be in your home to listen to, how about the Raven Effect? Raven and Busby do a great podcast every week. They play games, talk pop culture and wrestling, and Raven even does impressions.
Jim Ross, I got to think of a Jim Ross impression. My God!
Hold on, go back to that other your Jim Ross compression.
That was
like
me
Gollum.
Clearing my throat while I was trying to remember how the impression went. My God, somebody stop the damn match. Oh, he's been lacerated. My God, Dr. Death's been split wide open. Somebody stop the damn match. Thank you very little.
This is the most impressions you've ever done in a broadcast.
Let me do my best impression. Ah, fair play to you, lad. No, fair play to him. He's got no speed. He's got no power. Ah, he's got some composure, sure. Fair play to him.
Wait, that's either Conor McGregor or the Lucky Charms guy.
You know
I'm not
that's
sure.
Conor McGregor. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
There you go from last week's show. Not even close to how Jim Ross sounds. But speaking of Jim Ross, I did the Ross Report podcast this week. Go check that out. Everything you want to know about my latest run with Kevin Owens, working with Vince McMahon, and of course the Rock and Wrestling Rager with Jim Ross will be hosting. And we have a special other co-host coming aboard very soon. Go check that out at the Ross Report right here on Podcast One. And once again, ChrisJerichoCruise.com to get all the information on the Rock and Wrestling and Rager. So thank you so much for checking that out, and if you've bought a couple, and thank you so much for listening to all my shows here on the Jericho Network. Hit subscribe to all of them, Apple Podcasts, leave the Raven Effect a 5-star rating review, and all of the other shows on the Jericho Network, Team Tiger Awesome Show, Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon, Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus, Keeping It 100 with Conan, Disco Inferno and Shane Helms, and Beyond the Darkness, new episodes every weekday. And don't forget about True Crime Tuesdays with Tim and Dave. You can go get that podcast at patreon.com for just $5 a month, and you get a new episode every single Tuesday. The episodes are all commercial free, no commercials. Sign up now at patreon.com. Check that out. And thanks to all of you for listening. Keep listening. And thanks to all the Sexy Beast listeners for supporting the sponsors that have been with us for so long, including DDP Yoga. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho to take advantage of the great deal that Dallas is offering all the Talk is Jericho listeners right now. And of course, True Car, get all of your cars that you want to get specifically for you. Find the best prices, save time, save money, save peace of mind at True Car. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next and next Wednesday right here on Talk is Jericho. We are going to have Steel Panther return in the middle of their new tour with Stone Sour. Steel Panther will be here, and oh my gosh, what a ridiculous conversation with all the members of Steel Panther while drifting in and out of the podcast. So get ready for some ridiculousness. That's all I got to say. So thank you so much. We'll see you next week, and in the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Listen to new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or podcastone.com.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Simmons SD550 electronic drum kit, just $399. Add your choice of AKG K52 headphones or a Shure SM48 mic, each just $39. Plus, the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing, lessons for the beginner on your list, and gift cards. The perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.